So much of our lives is spent waiting. When we were children, we waited until it was time to go to school. And then we waited for graduation from high school and college. We wait until we get married. We wait for the children to come. We wait to get old. And then we wait to die. We wait for good news, and we wait for bad news. We wait for spring to come, and we wait for the weekend. And perhaps like the two characters in the play, we wait for Godot, who never comes. But rarely does it ever turn out that the things that we wait for are anywhere nearly as good as their expectation. And our lives are filled with loneliness. There's a deep, intense loneliness that comes when someone we love is absent. The sharp loneliness of homesickness, the dull ache when we miss our friends through a long separation, the poignant loneliness of the last few weeks and the last few days and the last few hours before we're united again. And through all of the loneliness, we wait. We wait for the loved ones to return. We wait to go home. We wait for our family to join us. We wait for our friends to reappear. And that is why waiting and loneliness always go together. Hand in hand. If we're not lonely, then time passes rapidly. But when we are lonely, isolated, time hangs heavy, passes slowly, and waiting seems interminable. We look at the clock, distract ourselves, and look at the clock again. But there's another kind of much deeper loneliness that is much more baffling because we rarely even notice it. But when we do notice it, we are startled and sometimes terrified. And that kind of loneliness comes not when we are sad, but in times of gladness. Not in times of deprivation, but times of fulfillment. Not in times of isolation, but in times of union. It is the loneliness that affects us when we seem to have everything we want and we know there's something missing. It is not the loneliness of eating alone at a lunch counter. It's the loneliness that comes at the end of a pleasant meal with family and friends. It's when we seem to have everything we could possibly ask for and recognize there's something missing. It's in these moments that we recognize this acute loneliness that has been with us all the time in our unconscious, but we simply have not noticed it. We have not allowed it to surface. And when it does surface, the moment passes quickly, and we always forget the sharp stab of that kind of loneliness that interrupted a delightful occasion until it returns again and again to haunt us. To haunt us. Because that is why we discover that something is missing. Something is missing, or is it someone? And who is it? And where is he? And why? Why do we want him? Whenever we are separated from the people we love, it's easy to understand the anguish in our life as a result of the separation. But when we are united with the people we love, and there is still anguish, then we are forced to admit a dismaying fact that as human creatures, we are never satisfied. Give any other animal food and shelter and warmth and companionship, and it will seek nothing else. That animal will never wait for some mysterious, absent other. The non-human animal is always satisfied with basic needs. But we, the human animal, we always wait, seeking someone, something, to which we cannot even give a name. And sometimes, in these interludes, when we're haunted by a baffling loneliness, we get a hint of who it is. It is, we discover, in those moments of insight, someone out there who can satisfy the loneliness, the longings, in the same way that a gentle and warm mother would for a child. We sense a love that is so strong, so passionate, overwhelming, that we realize we could never plumb the depths of it. That is for whom we wait. And that is what happens during this Advent season. The church knows our human nature and deliberately stirs up that sense of longing, of loneliness and expectation out of the very depth of the unconscious part of our personality, so that we face up to this reality and stop running away from it as we normally do. We always run from this kind of cosmic loneliness. It touches all of us. The abiding loneliness of human life is most difficult to escape in December, when days grow short and dark skies become black. That is when the cosmic loneliness tells us for whom it is that we wait, and why our lives are lonely, even when we think we have everything we need. It's only the second day of December, and already in our minds we're busy. The month is filled, preparing for the end of the month. Cards, parties, trees, presents. We think, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, There's no need to face up to the deep, deep loneliness in our lives. No need to pause or pray or ask for whom we are waiting or why we're going to celebrate. No time even to allow someone to speak to us or come to us, lurking perhaps around the corner as we rush past, looking for our Christmas tree. But how do we discover him right now, since we know he already is here? Where? In the world? In us? In other people? In prayer? In our heart? In the daily events of our lives? In the world? To say Christ is in the world is not a new idea, but it always sounds so new because it's so difficult to act upon it. Theologians say God is immanent within us, transcendent beyond us. We simple people of faith simply say, he is here. And Jesus says today in the gospel, I am with you. I am with you now and all days. But he also says, your hearts will always be restless until they rest in me, says the Lord. And that resting begins now, a season of waiting.
Let us pray. instructed by the healing word of God,